Hello, and welcome to Tanchamar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Tuesday, September 14th. Coming up on today's show, we've got highlights from last night's town council meeting, including a tight 4-3 vote on a revised streets bylaw that has lifted the ban on skateboards on town streets, with some restrictions. But first,
over the weekend, public health has confirmed 122 new cases. We also have 11 New Brunswickers in hospital, including 9 under intensive care. That's more than we have seen in many months.
Chief Medical Officer Jennifer Russell, Premier Blaine Higgs, and Education Minister Dominic Carty held a briefing Monday afternoon to share some worrisome numbers. A surge of new COVID-19 cases sees active case counts in the province up to 229, and with 36 new cases over the weekend, Zone 1 active cases are up to 71. The surge has prompted new rules for schools province-wide. As of today, students of all ages must wear a mask in school and while on school buses. Masks may be removed when students are eating, drinking, or engaged in sports or phys ed classes. The new measures will be reassessed in the last week of September. 3 schools in Riverview and Moncton have confirmed cases of COVID-19.
Given the incubation period of the virus, which can be up to 2 weeks, cases we are seeing among New Brunswickers today started before Labor Day. In terms of that transmission, we still have yet to see any student-to-student transmission within the school setting.
Cases in Zone 1 are predominantly the Alpha variant, said Russell on Monday. In the rest of the province, they are predominantly the more contagious Delta variant. There is a lag in testing, which means the variant in the most recent cases is not necessarily known. Russell said the fourth wave of COVID-19 in New Brunswick is different from previous waves in that it is a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Adults who are not fully vaccinated are catching the virus and passing it on to others. When young children are infected, it is most often due to contact with a family member or a household member who is not vaccinated. And I say this without malice or without judgment, but this is what we're seeing in terms of transmission.
Premier Higgs said that everything is on the table in terms of the response to the current surge, though he did rule out the return of an emergency order.
I expect to be able to tell you more about any decisions that are made on Wednesday of this week. While I do not yet know what specific measures may be introduced, I can tell you that everything is on the table. This includes the possibility of requiring proof of vaccination when accessing non-essential services, businesses, and activities. We may also include a requirement for anyone entering the province to register their travel.
Quebec has an active vaccine passport system, and a similar program has been announced for Nova Scotia to come into effect in October. A vaccine passport requires people to show vaccination status or exempted status in order to access non-essential services and activities. Higgs says he has yet to meet with his Atlantic counterparts to share New Brunswick's current numbers, but will likely do so after a cabinet meeting Monday. Cumberland County District RCMP are investigating a tragic fire in a camper in Millvale, Nova Scotia. A family of 6 from Amherst were found deceased in the travel trailer on Monday evening after police responded to a call of a fire. The victims have been identified by family as 30-year-old R.J. Sears, 28-year-old Michelle Robertson, and 4 children, 11-year-old Madison, 8-year-old Robert Ryder, 4-year-old Jackson, and 3-year-old Colin. Sears' father told the Canadian Press that the family had been at the trailer for a short stay, and it's not clear when the fire happened. Police say preliminary investigations do not indicate the fire is suspicious in nature, though the fire marshal is investigating. The town of Amherst, in conjunction with Cumberland North MLA Elizabeth Smith McCrossin, have set up a memorial in Victoria Square in Amherst where people can come and pay their respects to the victims and their family. Skateboards are no longer banned on the streets of Sackville. In a 4-3 vote, council passed a second and third reading of a revised streets bylaw that will allow people to ride skateboards on streets with certain restrictions, such as wearing helmets, yielding to cars, and refraining from tricks. A final vote on the revised bylaw was nearly delayed by a month after Councillor Michael Tower requested a copy of the communication from the town's solicitor and insurance company and asked for time to review the same. CAO Jamie Burke agreed to provide those, but also summarized the input, which had been discussed at previous meetings.
To paraphrase, if it may put council at ease, and I think we've potentially discussed it in a bit of a roundabout way over many council meetings, but our lawyer originally said not to do this, right? That was very clear and said you're going to take on additional risk, and we communicated that to council, and council gave us direction to say, we want to explore ways to do it. So we went back to our lawyer, and our solicitor said if you want to do it, you would limit your risk or exposure if you allowed it but regulated it, right? That's we could have just said you can do it with no rules or restrictions. We're not doing that. We're telling people they need to wear a helmet. It needs to be, you know, CSA approved. We've got a whole bunch of requirements in the document that we would expect in consultation with our lawyer and our insurance provider that would reduce our risk or exposure. Our insurance provider indicated that our potential for risk could go up if there was a claim. That's basically all they said, and they had listed a variety of things that we would that it would be best practice to do in the event that we were going to look at it, doing regular reviews of our street network in terms of cracks, putting in place a program where we keep track of when the street sweeper goes out to remove debris from the streets. So putting more procedures in place that would, again, reduce our risk or exposure in the event that we were to get a claim. So that's what both parties suggested. And we've had a significant debate about that with amongst council since we've been discussing that. So in summary, those were the two responses.
Councillor Alison Butcher made a plea not to delay the third reading by another month, citing the considerable staff time and resources dedicated to the bylaw revision so far. In the end, the delay did not get consensus, and the bylaw went to third and final reading last night. Before it was passed, Councillor Mike Tower proposed an amendment to the bylaw to add a geographical limitation on which streets people would be permitted to ride on, but he received no support from other councillors.
Can a motion be made now to amend this motion to remove the downtown core and the two highways from the bylaw?
Okay.
I'd like to make that motion.
Okay. So we have another motion on the floor to amend the bylaw to exclude the downtown core and the two designated highways.
Correct.
Do I have a second?
That way, nothing holding it back.
Do I have a second? Do I have a second? We have no seconder to the amendment. Okay. So that puts that to bed.
Councillors Bruce Finney and Matt Esterbrooks both spoke against the revised bylaw. Ken Hicks, who was absent Monday night, had spoken against in the past. Matt Esterbrooks recounted some personal experiences when explaining his position that skateboards are simply too dangerous to be permitted on streets.
I have witnessed a person hit by a vehicle after losing control of a skateboard, and it resulted in both of his legs being badly broken. The incident took place in a 50-kilometer-hour zone, which most of our streets are. It was terrifying, and the youth was a mess. I have also experienced a skateboard and vehicle near miss when I was a teenager many, many years ago, and it could have ended equally as bad. Thankfully, it did not. I also have experience in regards to people/vehicle incidents in my lifetime, having been called to many motor vehicle accidents as a volunteer firefighter. Vehicle versus pedestrian, cyclist, skateboarder collisions do not end well for the latter. Skateboards are not a safe form of transportation on our current roadways. This aligns with statements from major insurance providers, including our town's insurer as well.
Esterbrooks also added that while Sackville should be planning for separated infrastructure, which would make active transportation options safer, the town was not in a financial position to make this happen. Councillors Evans and Deeds both spoke in favor of the motion, recapping some previous arguments and adding new statistics on the frequency of injuries from various common activities. In the end, both second and third readings passed, 4-3. People driving along Pond Shore Road might notice that the radar speed sign that used to remind them of their current speed is gone. Public Works Liaison Councillor Matt Esterbrooks told Council on Monday that the sign was stolen on August 30th, the very same day a repaired radar speed sign was installed in the opposite direction on Pond Shore Road. The second repaired sign has been removed until Public Works staff figure out a way to protect it against theft. Town engineer Dwayne Acton said after the meeting that staff were considering trail cams and talking with the manufacturer about other ways to secure or track the signs, including GPS. The speed sign cost the town about $4,000, though replacing it will cost slightly less, he said. The radar speed signs have been the source of trouble before due to issues retrieving speed data from the units, which store the speed of each vehicle as it passes the sign. The engineering department recently was able to retrieve the data and has forwarded it to the RCMP. Acton says he's not sure where in the public works budget he will find the money to replace the sign, and he's having a hard time imagining what someone might want with it. He said he'd welcome the return of the sign to the public works department, no questions asked. And finally, on Tantramar Report today, Sackville Town Council will be considering how to spend an additional $372,000 in gas tax funding in the 2022 budget. The money can be spent on a number of different infrastructure projects that must be approved by the province. The list includes sewage and water infrastructure, roads and bridges, community energy systems, public transit, among other things. Citizens who want to weigh in can do so in Council's public budget meeting next week on Monday, September 20th. Anyone wishing to speak must register in advance with the town clerk's office by the end of day today. The town department heads will be submitting their five-year capital spending plans to the town treasurer shortly after the public budget meeting on September 24th. Next Monday's public meeting is the only chance for residents to weigh in on budget priorities before a first draft of the budget is proposed. Town staff and council typically meet in private to discuss budget priorities. The first draft of both operating and capital budgets will be presented at a public council meeting on October 18th and 19th. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Tuesday, September 14th. As always, to get in touch, email us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.